In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We continue with Mark's Gospel. Mark is the shortest Gospel. It really was all about the cross, and then it was all the other things were added. But you see, Mark just goes to it and says, immediately Jesus does this, immediately Jesus does that. We're looking at Mark 7, verse 34. "And from there Jesus arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into it, but he could not be hid." Poor Jesus needs to have some quiet time, so he goes to Tyre and Sidon. Yeah, this is the area of a lot of, unbelievers. And people follow Jesus. Why? Because they are desperate. Still today, we follow Jesus because we are desperate for his love. We are desperate for his mercy. We are desperate for his presence. We are desperate for Jesus. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus and came and fell at his feet." Now this woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician person, and she besought Jesus that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Listen to Jesus' reply. "But Jesus said to her, 'Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs.'" See, she wasn't a Jew, and she was known to be a dog by the Jews. But listen to this. "And she answered and said unto Jesus, 'Yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.'" Oh, she's not going to leave Jesus until he does this to her daughter. She says, "I'll eat the crumbs. I don't need the bread. It's good enough for me, just the crumbs. You have all this power. I have heard about you. You have all this power, and the power hasn't changed." "And he said unto her, 'For this saying,' so he went his way, 'and the devil is gone out of your daughter.' And when she was come home to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." You see, this is amazing. This is amazing. "It is not meet to take the children's bread." What is the children's bread? Deliverance and healing. That is our bread. That's what Jesus says. But he heals the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they brought him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they besought him to put his hand upon him. And Jesus took him aside from the multitude." Why? Probably there's no faith. "And put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched the tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, 'Ephrathah,' that is, 'be opened.' And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, 'He hath done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.'" I tell you, this is Jesus. And let me tell you, he hasn't changed. He has not changed. I told you that we had a miracle service. There were about 15 people many years ago, and they were all healed. It was wonderful. Jesus healed them all. You know, this Jesus is so good that he has compassion on people. You know what compassion means? To suffer with. He has compassion on people. Chapter 8. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from a far country. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Oh, they forgot what Jesus had already done, how he had multiplied the bread and how he had multiplied the fish. Oh, yes, they think that this was only a one-time deal. And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, it sounds like Eucharist, to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and took up broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he went, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into the ship of his disciples, and came to parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth, and began to question Jesus, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. You see, they didn't have faith. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why does this generation seek after a sign? Truly, truly, I say to you, there shall be no sign given to this generation. And he left them and entered into a boat again and departed on the other side. These people have no faith. They want to see Jesus do a miracle, but they have no faith. You see, the woman with the Syrophoenician daughter, she had faith that Jesus could heal, and she would even eat the crumbs from the table. I tell you, I'd rather eat the crumbs from Jesus' table than to eat the caviar from rich man's table. At least the crumbs from his table will bring me healing and deliverance. This is real. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf, and he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive and understand? Have you in your heart been hardened? Having eyes, do you see, but you don't see? Having ears, do you hear, but you don't hear? And do you not remember what happened when I broke 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said unto him, 7. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets of fragments did you take up? 7. And he said unto them, How is it that you do not understand? You see, it's just amazing, you know, that God provided before and God will provide again. This is so interesting. That's why we have to remember the things that the Lord has done for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me this radio because you've trusted me. Thank you, Lord, that you have come to me in my desolation. Thank you, Lord, that you have healed me in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep on thanking the Lord. And he came to Bethsaida, and they brought him a blind man and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Why? Because there's no faith. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. So this guy lost his sight. He knew what trees looked like. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Well, we know what's going to happen. He's going to start telling everybody, I once was blind, but now I see. This Jesus, he spit on my eyes, and he asked if I could see. Oh, yes, more people are going to follow Jesus. They're not going to give him any leisure. Wherever Jesus goes, the people follow. You know why? They're desperate. They're desperate. We are desperate, too. We are desperate, too. We need Jesus. We need him in our hearts. We need him in the things that we do. We need him in our spirits. We need him to do things for us. We are desperate, and we need faith to ask Jesus to do these things. And he said to the man, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Peter's confession. And Jesus went out with his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They answered, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? That is the most important question that we can answer. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Oh, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my King. You are my Lord. You are God. Oh, Jesus, we know who you are. And Peter answered and said unto him, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And he charged them that they would tell no man that he was the Christ. Why? Because the great act of Jesus will be on the cross as he dies for you and me, remitting our sins by the power of his precious blood. Tell no man, because if you tell them that the guy that was blind could see, they'll think that it's all about miracles. No, it's all about salvation. It's all about the cross, and miracles follow. I believe it. I believe it. He tells us in Mark's gospel, signs like these shall follow those who preach the gospel and who believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. This is real. This is real. And the whole story is, who's laying hands upon the sick? Because many Catholics don't. They go to see Madame Fufu. That's right. She is the one that will give them their horoscope. And you know her telephone number, 1-800-GO-TO-HELL. Oh, yes, you deal with Madame Fufu, you're going to be dealing with the devil. Oh, but I only go for fun. I don't even open a fortune cookie for fun. I know it has nothing to do with real fortunes, but I don't even open a fortune cookie for fun. I have no ability to care what the fortune cookie says. The Lord holds my life. The Lord holds my heart. The Lord holds my future and my presence. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he charged them not to tell anyone. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, after 3 days rise again. And he spake that openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Peter has just told Jesus who he is. But you see, when Jesus says, I have to go to the cross, I'm going to be rejected by men. I'm going to be rejected by the scribes and the Pharisees. Peter says, no, you can't do it. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. We go from Revelation, thou art the Christ, to damnation. You will not do it. You see, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And it happened on the cross, in his burial, and in the resurrection. I tell you, Peter did not want to see Jesus die. And if I were there, I would be the same way. You know, I would be the same way. So we continue. And so he turned around and looked at his disciples and rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you savor not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men." And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." The cross is persecution. It is not sickness. God does not put sickness on us. Sickness comes because we live in a world that is sinful. The cross is not sickness. It is persecution, only persecution. And I'm telling you, people are being persecuted in the Middle East for believing in Jesus Christ. People are being persecuted and killed for believing in Jesus Christ. We do not have that persecution here yet, but people are being persecuted for believing in Jesus Christ. There's a woman, Miriam, who just had her baby, who's in jail, that will not forsake Jesus. They want her to follow Allah, and so she will remain in jail for 2 years. I tell you, people are suffering every single day because they believe in Jesus, and there is great persecution, even death. But who prays for them? Who calls out their names? Just yesterday, I heard that 50 Catholics were shot dead by ISIS, ISIS. We need the Pope to come and speak against this. We need the Holy Father and the bishops to speak against this. These are our brothers and sisters, and they are dying as martyrs for the sake of Jesus. Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit a man? You see, eternity is forever. If you lived 107 years, you know, I saw a commercial yesterday from the island of Okinawa that the people live to be old age, and they drink this, eat this certain food, and that's why the Okinawans live so long. But you know what? Even if you live to be 120, that is no time when it comes to God. God wants to do things in our life now. Our life is very short. No matter how long it is, our life is very short, and we need to give ourselves to Jesus. We need to give ourselves to Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Father, shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. Now I want to just repeat that. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. If they had adulterous and sinful generation, ours is worse. We kill children every single day. Please save people this moment, Lord Jesus. Eleanor and Mary, save people. Eddie, save people. Save people. We live in an adulterous and sinful generation that we say that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. We live in an adulterous and sinful generation. If it was bad in the time of Jesus, it's worse now because we made these laws. It's a law that you can kill your child if you want. If it's a law that you can marry someone of the same sex if you want. I'm telling you, if Jesus talked about his time as adulterous and a sinful generation, what should we call our generation? A generation that has forgotten God, a generation that looks to self, a generation that wants to enthrone the person on the throne of his life, the generation that wants to make men and women God. Never, 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 never again. If Jesus lived in a perverse generation, let me tell you, our generation is far worse. And he said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, that there will be some here, standing here, that shall not taste death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And 6 days later, that's 6 days from Caesarea Philippi, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no bleacher on earth can whiten them. And there appeared unto Jesus Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. What were they saying to Jesus? They were talking about his departure. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us build 2-3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were very afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and the voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And suddenly, when they looked round about, they saw no man any more, only Jesus with themselves. I tell you, we don't need to see angels. We don't need to see things like that. We need to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and tell him I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and teach me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses were talking to Jesus about his departure into Jerusalem. When did this happen? It happened in September or October. How do you know? Because they said, let us build 3 booths. It was this, the ceremony of building booths that Jews lived outside for a certain amount of time. Let us build 3 booths. So this happened in September or October. And Jesus will die in March or April. So they were telling him of his departure, which he knew. But the Father glorified Jesus in the midst of all this pain. His face was like that of the sun, and his clothes shone as white could be. Oh, Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Come to us in our weakness. Come to us in our shame. Come to us and let us know that you are in love with us. Oh, Jesus, no matter what we've done, your cross is much more powerful than anything we have done. Lord Jesus, we turn to you, and we ask you that by the power of your blood, that you would save us from all that is evil and from sin, that you would become our Savior and our Lord, that we would look up and see only Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we adore you. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our May bills. We sent out a letter. We send out 4 letters a year. Please answer it. Or if you didn't get a letter, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And from July 20th to July 26th, we're going to have the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. For further information, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.